Blind Eye, written by John McLaren and read by David Rintoul.
Prologue. The two jets screamed on through the white. 5,000 feet below them were sodden stretches of rock and peat and the heaving, flecked mass of the chill South Atlantic. A few more minutes and they'd be getting low on fuel, and it would again be time for the pilots to head back and wrestle the evil crosswinds, fighting to land tidily on Invincible's bucking, Teflon-faced runway. The radio crackled into life.
Satan 2, let's try one last time lower down, descending to 3,000 feet, over.
The reply came back with a mild twang in the accent.
Roger, leader.
Back in Invincible, the Commander Air sat on a tall metal stool in Flyco, the flight control center next to the bridge. He gazed abstractly at the activity down on the deck as he listened to the exchange of the pilots with each other and with the flight controller in the ops room six decks below him. Today had been unusually quiet, not a single inbound threat to intercept. It was as if the Argies were having a day off.
Jesus, Linton, did you see that?
The urgency in the voice ripped the Commander Air's reverie. He stared intently at the little loudspeaker as the leader's voice came back.
I didn't see anything. Over. Invincible. This is Satan 2. I flew over a gap in the cloud. There was a swept-wing aircraft on the runway. Over.
The Commander Air was already on his feet as he heard the fighter controller responding.
Satan 2, did you get a photo? Over.
Not sure if I got it. Permission to attack?
Over.
Negative. Return to Mother. We need to develop that film right away. Over.
It has to be an étendard, and if it takes off now, we won't have a base to return to. Repeat. Request permission to attack. Over.
Unless we send in a whole squadron, you'll be cut to pieces. Return to Mother. Do you read me, Satan 1 and 2?
Roger. Over.
Thank you, Satan 1.
Satan 2, do you copy? Over.
Invincible. I seem to be having a radio problem. Can you repeat that? Over.
Return to Mother immediately.
Still can't hear you. Was that a go? Over.
No, it was negative. Do you read? Over.
There was nothing but static.
Satan 1, if Satan 2's got some sort of problem, we're looking to you to guide him home. Over.
I've lost him. The cloud's too dense. I'm descending to 2,000 feet to try to find him. Over.
The Commander Air grabbed a microphone.
Satan 2, if you can hear me, do not attack. Repeat, do not attack.
There was no reply. He cursed and swung round to the Lieutenant Commander standing next to him.
Prepare to launch Satan 3 and 4, and we'd better get some Sea Kings airborne. If that bloody idiot attacks, he won't have a cat in hell's chance of making it back here.
The Argentinian lieutenant, sitting in the tiny control tower, looked at his watch again. After an eternity, the engineers had finally fixed the problem with the fuel nozzle. Now the fuel was pumping into the plane from the tanker truck. The pilot of the Étendard supersonic bomber had been growing increasingly agitated. The navigator kept walking under the wings, checking the mountains on the twin Exocet missiles. If they could get close enough to either one of the carriers, Hermes or Invincible, these sleek beauties could win the war at a stroke. They had good reason to be nervous. The ground radar had picked up blips from two enemy jets. At times they could hear them. Thank heaven for cloud cover. The lieutenant willed the Étendard to be airborne and off his watch. The voice of the radar operator broke in. One enemy jet at 500 metres, range 7 kilometres to the south. It looked like an attack pattern. The lieutenant barked orders to his batteries to prepare to open fire. The Étendard pilot cursed and raced back to the steps beneath the cockpit. The navigator was inches behind him as they climbed up, and he gestured angrily to the tanker crew to pull the nozzle clear so they could start the engines. As the whine of the turbines began, they heard through their headsets that the enemy was 4 kilometres away and closing. The pilot was desperate to get his machine back to the start of the runway and the hell out of there. The lieutenant had to force himself to wait till the range was right. 3 kilometres. 2.5. 2. He issued the order. The clouds flashed bright with fireworks, and the control tower windows rattled fiercely as the whole structure shook. At the far end of the field, the Étendard was approaching the end of its bumpy taxi and starting a tight turn, its engines winding themselves up to catapult the craft forward. He glanced up at the eastern sky. He couldn't see the enemy yet. The Étendard was beginning to gather pace. Another 600 metres and it would be airborne.
Go! Go!